Hi, and welcome to the Rare Business Podcast. My name is Adrian Swinsko, and I'm a consultant, advisor, researcher, and writer on all things related to customer service and customer experience. Through this podcast, I seek out and interview CEOs, entrepreneurs, business and tech leaders, and leading thinkers about what it takes to build organizations that produce better outcomes for both customers and employees in this fast-moving modern age that we live in. If this is your first time listening to one of these interviews, then welcome. And please do dive into the archives at adrianswinsko.com, as I've now completed over 250 of these interviews in the last few years. If this is not your first time listening, then thank you for returning, and I'll aim to do a good enough job to keep you coming back week after week. Anyway, that's enough from me right now. Let's get into the interview. So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Nienke Bloom, who is the CX speaker in the blue dress and co-founder of the Customer Experience Game. Now, Nienke, welcome to the show. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Please correct me and tell me exactly how you should pronounce it. But first of all, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. Really much fun to join you on your... Well, it's been, I heard how many editions of your podcast already. So it's amazing how you are consistent. So congrats to that. And I'm happy to join you. Thank you for the invite.
And did I pronounce your name correctly?
No, but it's not bad because I always say my Starbucks name is Ninka. It's N-I-N-K-A. That's what they always write wherever I'm in the world when I say Ninka. Ninka. But it's really a Dutch name. Yeah. So no worries.
So Ninka Bloom.
Ninka Bloom. And bloom is flower, so like bloom in many other languages. Yeah. So.
Thank you. So Ninka.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you do to introduce yourselves to our listeners and readers?
Yeah. Well, Nienke Bloom from the Netherlands. And I think I grew up on an island. And you might think, why is that important? But that means that you always, that people on an island are a little bit like activist kind of way. And you have to be self-sufficient and self-supporting. So, and I always wanted to go to the other side. So when you're small and I always knew that the world was bigger than Texel, the island's name. So I was always like, I want to get to the other side, and getting to the other side and being an activist is actually what is typical in my career. So I worked 20 years in several corporates, both in finance and in telco. So I've got the scars and the stars when it comes to customer experience. In my last function, I was responsible for customer experience within the Dutch telco, the incumbent at KPN, and work with my team of 12 people where we really worked on making our customers happy, getting them better services, better products. And it resulted in getting our brand NPS up from minus 14 up till plus 2 in 2.5 years. So I know how to make it work. Mm-hmm. And then about 4 years ago, the 1st of January 2015, I really thought, what do I really want to do with my life? And I decided to quit my job and really wanted to be a speaker to inspire. It made me happy, and I also found that a lot of people thought that I made their audiences aware of customer experience because I spoke already a lot from my function at that time. So I took the jump, and I just now for 4 years have my own company where I speak, I teach, I give customer experience masterclasses, so I help other customer experience professionals to be better in their functions and make their customers happy. So actually, everything I do as a speaker, as a teacher, as a facilitator of the game, but we get to that later. I want to make customer experience work, and in the end, make the world a more beautiful place for customers and employees. So the activist that gets to the other side—that is actually the wrap up of me.
Perfect. Thank you. So, but before we go into what I want to talk to you about, I mean, the CX speaker and the blue dress. I mean, why the blue dress? Because I actually, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I have seen you in a red dress. But I think it's the blue dress is now the statement color.
Yeah.
Like, why blue?
Yeah, it happened actually by accident, because 4 years ago when I started my speaking career as a professional speaker, at the moment I spoke for the PSA Holland, the Professional Speaker Association, at the international event. And the day before the event and I was about to speak, I always tried to stay fit and I was running and I sprang the muscle of my calf. And but so I had to go on stage with my crutches and they were actually blue. And so I thought, well, I was going to wear a different kind of dress. And I thought, well, that will not look good. So I looked in my wardrobe and, well, I thought, well, the blue of the crutches will probably match a blue dress. And then the day before, so I was just looking at my keynote and I actually had some insights and I was like, don't make your customers feel blue. And I had a story about the blue bear in Denver that's outside the Denver Convention Center, who's always outside in because it's very important to stay curious. And actually that was how the story evolved. And then somebody called me out, you are the speaker in the blue dress. And that's actually how it evolved. And it's recognizable in two ways. It shows that I'm a woman, and maybe that's peculiar, but a lot of speakers, most stages are still men. So it sets me apart from the others.
Sure.
It makes people remember me. So maybe that's all.
Very good. No, I just thought I'd ask. I mean, it's like it's like a line from a movie, right? It's like in the blue dress.
It's always like, what is your hook? How do you want people to remember you? And of course, I want them to remember me that I'm the activist who helps you to the other side. But it's often trivial how people remember and what people remember. Well, we know in our business, right? So it's always fun that I get like other people, oh, you were the speaker in the blue dress, and I'm like, yes. And of course, I want them to remember more. But I think this is a start. Yeah.
Sure. No, absolutely. I think it's the it kind of speaks to those sort of story lines that we, and it almost, I guess it's also around about sort of familiarity as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's lots of people, and also in our in customer experience are also men, but it's there's more of the same. So it just happened to evolve, and I started to use it, and sometimes it feels a little bit uncomfortable as a person because I'm more than a speaker in a blue dress, but you have to stand out, and from a marketing perspective it really works.
Perfect. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think you're right in that the speaking space, the business space, the CX space is still, you know, is dominated by, it's still a male dominated sort of space, and so more power to you, Nink.
Yeah, well, and it's also, I think we could also have some more fun, and it can be lighter. It's serious business, but we could do it with a twist, and I think that's also where we meet to have it. Yeah, I think when things are fun, it will work better. So yeah.
Absolutely. So on that on that fun note, now yourself and your colleague Babs Asselbergs have developed a game called the Customer Experience Game. Talking about fun.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that and how does it work? And also why a game?
Why a game? Yeah. Well, the thing is, when I was speaking, and when you travel the world and like you speak and you fly to an event and then you're there and you speak for 45 minutes, an hour and a half, and you've got all this travel gone. And I was like, how can I be of more value to my customers? And of course, you've got your breakouts and your workshop, or you can do a panel discussion or something like that. But I always am thinking of how can I have more impact and deliver more value. And so I had my breakouts and my workshops, and I thought they are good, but still there's a lot of people that have to go there from their boss and they're appointed. So you're doing an event of a large bank and you speak, and then the day after you do a two-hour workshop, and then people are there, but they are sent, or, and I always find that a lot of people just rather be somewhere else. So I thought, what can I think of to make my workshop either more fun or more engaging? And at that moment I asked Babs to help me out. She's a very creative person, and I know her from her background in research at the telco that we worked together. I hired many times in her company at that moment, Blau. And we actually, she helped me. She said, why don't you make a game? And then actually we were like, we're going to make a game together. And in a very agile incremental process. We thought, what should the game be like? Who is our audience? What should it look like? Mm-hmm. What kind of, you also want it online or stuff? And that's actually how the game came about. We tried it out, and then now we're in the space for 2 years. So the first year it was a big search for, you know, who's our audience, how do you market it, how, what we had, for example, we had it on a canvas, so you had to roll it up. But then when you travel around, it doesn't really work out. Or when people put like a coffee cup on it, it had stains and you had to throw it away.
Sure.
So yeah, so there were all these kinds of elements, and now it's actually by mistake. I ordered it, and instead of canvas, I accidentally pushed that it would flag material.
Right.
That flags are made. And then it was sent. I was like, what is this? I didn't order this. But it actually turned out very well, because now it's kind of a tablecloth. You can easily travel with it. So our partners, wherever they travel and they want to take the game with them, it's not a big thing that you have to travel about.
Mm-hmm.
So actually it's a workshop, but it's not a workshop. That's actually what it is. It's a tool, a method to bring custom experience alive, to align people around custom experience in a very retro way, to be honest, because it's not online. It's not something that you can play on different locations at the same time. You have to be with people in the same room, mm-hmm. and you battle against each other. That's actually what it is. It's a facilitated game. So you have to hire a facilitator to do it, because what we also found is that when you play the game and you let the people play it themselves, they stay within their comfort zones.
Right.
And that's not what you want. So that's also why we have it as a facilitated game.
So you play it in teams against each other. And how do you know that you've won?
Well, it's the game is around the custom experience strategy, what we have found and what's a proven method where we say you have to listen to your customers. So there's mm-hmm. going to be questions and assignments around the voice of the customer.
Mm-hmm.
There is questions and an assignment around brand delivery in the customer journey. So, what, for example, when we play it with a bank, they have four brand values.
Mm-hmm.
And so we challenge them. What are they? How can you bring them alive at moments in the customer journey?
Okay.
The third pillar of our strategy is about employee ambassadorship. So how to get a customer-centric culture. So the teams, and when we start, we also explain a little bit about customer experience, and then we start playing the game right away.
Yeah.
There's often like a maximum of four teams of four people, so 16. We also played it sometimes at one table at 20 teams, but we also play many tables at the same time. And then you just start, and every round, all teams play. So, for example, a question about the brand values, we're like, what, there's four brand values. Pick one and explain to us at what moment in the customer journey you can really deliver. And then they get like 2 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Every team deliberates, and then we hit the bell, time's up, and they all explain. And then the facilitator is also the jury.
Right.
And the team that has, in our opinion, the best compelling, memorable answer gets a happy customer.
Right.
And so you play many rounds. There's also unhappy customers in the game, but in the end, the team with the highest NPS wins.
Okay, so there's no rolling of dice of things.
Yeah, there is. Yeah,
oh, there's a rolling of dice as well.
Yeah,
ah.
Yeah, you do. So, like, we usually start with a team assignment. So think a team name, draw a logo, because we want every part of the brain to be activated,
mm-hmm.
and we want to get people a little bit so that they can show different talents. Some people are really good at listing. Some people are really good at drawing. Some people are really good at acting.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all kinds of assignments. And so the first team that has the best logo or team name, or we have several starting assignments that we always discuss with our customer who hires us, how we start. And then the first team rolls the dice, and they walk with their little puppet. They walk on the board, and they land on one of the fields, and it could be either voice of the customer, brand delivery in the customer journey, or employee ambassadorship. And we've got all kinds of questions and assignments tailored to the situation of the customer. So
right.
if it's a B2C company, we have different questions than when it's B2B. We have different questions when it's leaders. It's different questions when there's people in customer service. So we really tailor the things that we put in the game. We have made that to this specific to the situation. So okay. That's actually what we do, a little bit of prep before. And then during the game, people get the awareness of what customer experience is, sometimes how difficult it is, and what they can do to make it different.
Okay, so that means that there are different versions of the game, and you tailor it depending on who the audience kind of are, or the composition of the audience.
Yeah, actually, the game board is always the same. So right. It's the game board, and actually, what people see is the same. But the facilitator takes the time beforehand, and we always have a conversation with the customer. What is it that you want as a result? Mm. Is it that you want awareness? Is it that you want to gather as many new IDs? Is it that you want a clear action plan? Mm-hmm. It's really, and you cannot deliver all, of course, in 2 hours, but we really ask our customer, what do you want to get out of it? Sometimes it's teaming, uh-huh. Just get people to team up around this team. And that's what we deliver. So we tailor, we've got a huge batch of questions and assignments that we always pick and choose. So we take like an hour beforehand extra to prepare. And when we are at the event location where it's hosted, whether it's in company or whether it's at an event, we come all prepared. And the customer, the people around the board have no idea that it's, yeah, it could be different for another company because they right. are there and it's about them.
Okay. So, I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, I think the thing that with kind of games is that whilst they are fun, they're also instructive as well, and people can learn a whole bunch of stuff by playing kind of games. I mean, I think what'd be really interesting for me is if you could give us maybe a couple of examples of how teams or businesses have used the game when faced with a particular kind of challenge or, you know, an issue, and how they played it and what happened as a result in terms of business results, employee and customer happiness, and so on and so yep. forth.
Yeah. Well, for example, we played the game at a large B2B German company a couple of weeks ago, where they have a large Voice of the Customer Ambassador program. Mm-hmm. And they have a Voice of the Customer program that's worldwide. And the people that are doing are having the roles in a local way, the ambassadors, they are in their local countries, and they are often appointed by the bosses, and they are not voice of the customer specialists. They have just 20% of their time to do it next to their jobs. So once a year, they have an event where all ambassadors fly to Germany and they meet up. Okay. And they hired us to kick off their 2-day event. After that, the highest ranking boss he spoke, and then we played the game in two spaces where the teams were split up, and we got them evolving, learning more about the game, and really gathering IDs, because what they found is that the ambassadors really have many IDs, but it often doesn't come out. So what is it that they're faced with, but also what are the best practices? So we played the game and we gathered about 40 IDs in just 2 hours.
Right.
How to improve the voice of the customer program.
Perfect.
And we teamed them up. We got them to meet each other because they are often far away from each other. So it's also a fun way to team up and to learn who's who in a very light way.
Yeah, and so I can see how, particularly if you are kicking off or re-energizing or educating or trying to facilitate an internal sort of network or community or something, how something like this would be incredibly useful, but also as a way of actually trying to encourage people to come forward with their own ideas, or to nurture new ideas, or to create.
That was the focus of this
productive
this
collisions, as it were.
Yeah, and we also have another customer. We're working on we're in the offer phase, but I think it's going to pull through. And what we're going to do is, this is a large bank, and they have a monthly onboarding of all new employees. Mm-hmm. And what they really want is that the new employees learn their brand values.
Yes.
And learn about what is NPS, why is that important and stuff. So instead of telling them, they want to play the game so that people learn it themselves sure. by playing. So tell them a little bit, and then so it's going to be a short presentation of their this is NPS and stuff, and then later by reinforcement they're going to play the game, and on a meta level. So we are going to train them and tailor the questions and everything around their onboarding so they can play it themselves. So for us, it's the selling of a trainer and tailoring to their situation. And then we do a handshake and then later intervention sessions to see how it goes. But then it's theirs mm-hmm. to play in their own company. So every time new employees come, they can use it as a tool in their own toolbox.
Perfect.
So actually, that's another... And also a really fun one that we did last September is a large office supplier.
Okay.
They have call centers all around the world. So we taught their coaches and trainers, 12 of them, to play the game because they're going to do new Salesforce implementation and have a new strategy. So we have tailored the game so it is played as awareness. Why is it important to have good CRM? Why is it important that we really become customer obsessed?
Mm.
And those 12 people are now around out in the world to train the employees of the contact centers to get into their hearts and their minds about customer centricity. So
Perfect.
Actually, there's many ways. And I think that's also one of the, going to be honest, the difficulties to frame the game because there's so much possible.
Sure. So, I mean, you've done it like tons of times now for different... Yeah. people and different organizations. I mean, what are the big lessons that you've learned out of almost the production of the game and then actually the running of the game that you think are applicable to leaders and organizations from, you know, from your experience in the CX game?
Yeah, I think what we found is that I think what the interesting thing, and it's also, I did my MBA and a professor, he said to me, with every pair of hands, you get a brain for free.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very interesting perspective because in many companies, those brains are not really engaged or energized.
Mm-hmm.
And the fun thing is when we play the games, the CX game, it's people have so much in them, in solution finding, in ideas, how to do it differently. And the game is a perfect way to get that out of there.
Sure.
So too many companies, and maybe I'm a little bit blunt, but they treat the people like they're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, with the game, you just get the elements out that are often hidden. So I think that is really an insight that we get. What we often hear is that it's so much fun to play the game and that it's... This is the most fun workshop we ever had.
Sure.
I think that is something that I think learning can be a lot more fun than just sitting and listening and getting all that. And in several countries, it's still very traditional.
Sure.
Learning and the workshopping. So that's the second insight. Yeah. And the third insight is that the game is a perfect tool as a tool for customer experience managers, for other people to have something that you can really do within companies to bring the topic alive, to bring elements of a voice of the customer, whether it's NPS or CSAT, whether it's customer journey or whether it's moments of truth, whether it's cultural problems, programs around awards. So it's really a brilliant tool to bring our very broad customer experience topic alive. So
sure.
it's like with every pair of hands you get a brain for free, and we make it practical. I think that insight, that learning can be fun.
Mm.
And it's a tool that really brings customer experience to life instead of keeping it on PowerPoint. And yeah, people understand after playing the game how important customer experience is. So you get
I think also the other thing that games do, whilst they might allow you to academically or intellectually learn about something, but you also get that other, a deeper learning, which, you know, like in a real visceral, emotional, practical, physical, almost kinesthetic sort of sense, because you're doing it with other people. It becomes a social sort of thing. So it becomes a much, much more broader learning. So rather than actually just knowing it, that you actually get it as well.
Yeah, the thing is, what we learned, you've got the benefits, and I think we've got some additional benefits that we see is that teams see other skills from each other. Mm. So people really, I didn't know you could draw that well. Oh my goodness, you've got some great ideas on that, or mm-hmm. you are brilliant because we sometimes let them pitch. You're really good at doing a town hall meeting, for example. So they see other talents, so mm-hmm. really the talent comes out, and it's people soften up because of the game, and also they harden up because they want to win, because mm-hmm. there's a prize to win. So it's also like really funny to see how people get really challenging and battling each other, and so it's actually the both of that. They soften up and they become more people than their role.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, when people want to win, they do crazy things. So you can see gaming elements that we see in NPS programs. You see them during the game.
Yeah. I think the other thing as well is the point that you make is that when you put people in situations like that and give them opportunities to do things or to show their skills and their strengths in other areas which they wouldn't commonly kind of like do, you kind of almost people go from being 2D to 3D in many ways.
I like that. Yes. I like that.
So you get like a bigger view of somebody, and I think it's fascinating. I've done similar sort of things with other sort of firms where you just mix a whole different groups of people up, and it's fascinating to watch people show themselves to other people and what they can do. So, okay, I always try and boil these things down to some very, very simple sort of steps, because we can talk about all of this sort of stuff, but actually I think you and I would probably agree is one of the things that generally stops people from making progress on things is almost like knowing where to start, and also what the first step should be, because things can feel like a good idea, but sometimes they just go, okay, fine. I need to know what the step one and step two and step three is to get started, because we're generally in a game of momentum in many cases.
Yeah.
So if I was to say to you, somebody's listening to this or reading the highlights, and they're like, I love the idea of being a bit more playful in whether it's using yourselves in the customer experience game or just generally being more playful or adding more play and fun into that the whole process. I mean, what would be your best advice for people about where to start and your experience from, you know, just generally and also from running the customer experience game?
I think it's important to look at yourself and how serious are you taking this, because I think it's good that you take it serious, mm. but really think of the result you expect from the things you're doing. Mm. So if you take it all too serious and it becomes real heavy and dark and gloomy, that's also how you bring it to the table, whether it's a workshop, whether it's a program, whether it's a new campaign you're launching. So are you really yourself cheerful and confident and bringing in also some lightness to the table? Mm-hmm. Because people really like to work with people that are fun.
Sure.
So if you're too serious and everything is too dark around you, yeah, take a couple days off, go for a walk, read good books, look funny cat videos on YouTube. I have no clue, mm-hmm. but get some laughs in. That really, I think that really works.
Yeah.
Of course, you can ring us. We are always looking for new partners worldwide that want to become a partner and learn how to facilitate the game, or we are open for other business opportunities for customer experience that want this as their own tool. So that's, of course, one of the elements. And maybe use game elements. You can use game elements from let people battle against each other a little bit. So I think when people can earn something, whether it's a reward or I just spoke to Clint Payne. You probably know him. He's the International Customer Experience Professional of the Year 2018. He won it, and he's the CX manager of MultiChoice South Africa. Mm-hmm. And he did a brilliant program, #99, where he solved 99 really big problems, and not him and his team, people in the company. And he did a lot of playful things about rewarding. And he got, like he said, I did guerrilla awarding. So instead of just say that everybody gets this, people, when they solved elements, they got a gift and they didn't know what it was. It's going to be small or big. And I like that approach. You get mm-hmm. something, but it's not fixed. So it doesn't get like your only focus on the reward. So think of how can you put gaming elements in programs? How can you reward people that are doing brilliant things?
Mm-hmm. I think that's sage advice. I mean, I know that I run kind of workshops and we break things down and I don't know if there's the equivalent in Holland, but I'm sure you probably have something similar, which is we have a show which is X Factor in the UK.
Yes.
Yeah, which I'm not a big fan of, but in terms of the format, in terms of, you know, people come out and perform and they make it competitive. I mean, I have a workshop where we, towards the end of it, each team has this idea that they have to pitch against each other, and it becomes competitive in terms of selling their ideas. But that's all part of the skill set, you know, the influence and selling your idea. But to make it competitive and but also a little bit fun, but also that think something that pushes people out of their comfort zone as well, you know, allows different people to shine in different formats. And so I think you're absolutely right.
I like that idea.
Inke, I'm going to make sure I'm get all this kind of linked up and edited and things when it kind of goes live. I mean, I really like the idea of doing serious stuff by having fun, which it just kind of sometimes the world of business and CX and everything else around it is it sometimes feels a little bit too serious for its own good. and I think our customers would appreciate us having a bit more fun and looking like we're actually having fun and you know, doing it with a smile on our face. I mean, if we just did that, I think, like you said right at the very, very beginning, is that the world would probably be a slightly better place.
Yeah, it is serious business. I am a businesswoman, so for me, it's also we have to get the results that we get out. Mm-hmm. But if you do it in a playful thing, in a playful way, and with a big smile on your face, you get a lot more results. And I wish everybody that, because it makes the world a more beautiful place. So I think we're all it's for everybody's good.
Yeah, absolutely. So okay, I just want to say, congratulations on the on developing the game. I think it sounds really, really fun. I will make sure I get this all linked up and published and give you a big shout out when it goes live. But just finally, just want to say thank you for your time and for sharing your insights today. That's been great.
Thank you for the invite, and keep on going. And to all listeners, thanks for joining us in the podcast. And let's make the world. Together, let's make the world a more beautiful place for our customers and employees.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Well, that's it for another interview. I really hope you enjoyed it. Now, every time I complete one of these interviews, I learn something new, and I try and incorporate that new learning into my writing, my speaking, my workshops, and the consulting that I do for my clients. If you're interested, you can find out more about how I work with clients over at adrianswimsko.com. But one final thing before I go. Please consider heading over to iTunes or whichever podcast platform you choose to use, and do leave a review. Every little helps, as they say. Anyway, that's all for now. Thank you for listening, and do listen in again. All the very best.